Hello, everybody. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group. I'll be your host for today, and we're going to be interviewing a person that I go back a little bit with, and sometimes that happens. I know we had another guest on the show that I also knew, and he's doing some really, really wonderful work, and has had some really cool experiences with a practice that I'll let him tell you about. But I have on the show today Chadwick Dennis, and Chad is based in Chicago, Illinois. Chad and I went to undergrad together years ago at McKendree College, which is now McKendree University. It's always great to have an alum on the show. We were both track athletes, and Chad is originally a native of Jamaica. So once again, that island connection is there. And, you know, we're gonna do some hashing out today. We're gonna have a conversation that you guys will be interested in today. Chad has been involved in mentoring people, both men and women. He's had some experiences over the years that have kind of opened up his eyes, and those experiences have influenced him to have some honest conversations with other people who may be in between things or experiencing transitions or just need some guidance. And so we're going to talk to him today. Chad, are you there? How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. Charles, thanks for having me. Hey. Hello, everybody.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in. I know that you've got a lot going on, and it's Sunday, and for a lot of people it is it's family day, so I won't keep you too long at all. I'm gonna try to get some things done as well today, but I definitely appreciate you taking some time out of your day to speak to us. So Chad, you know, I'm gonna jump right in to this because we had a conversation, and you told me that you were doing a lot with mindfulness, and I was just, my ears pinned back, like, what, Chad and mindfulness? What happened, man? Because it's so cool to hear that a guy is involved in mindfulness, you know, and is not just teaching it, but like using it in his own life. But how did it happen?
Originally, going through a crisis. And oftentimes we're so reactive that we don't understand that when we are going through a crisis, it's a call for action, you know, in a positive way. And so it was a trend that I kind of realized with my life at that point. You know, it was similar or more or less the same. So the question came about as to what can I do to actually, you know, cut this trend or to get in a better path. So the first step was I actually went to counseling. Did all five sessions. Okay. And she didn't come out and say, well, you have anxiety issues, but she kind of did say you had anxiety issues. I kind of figured it out. So I'm like, okay, all right. So I started doing some reading. Hit YouTube, and the first video that actually popped up was a video from, I don't remember his name, but it's a company, it's a site called Actualize.org. I'm sorry, I mean to plug anybody, but it was just so informative. And he he's actualized.org. And he just started to break it down. He started to speak to where I was at that point. And he was saying, okay, you're at this point in life, but you need to get to this point in life, and here is where you need to be. This is how you go about it.
Yes.
And so that became, the footsteps started moving a little bit, started doing a little bit more digging. Came up with a couple books. And the first book that I actually came across was called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Yes, that's right. And, yes, I'm familiar with that book.
Yes. And he just, like, he has such a calming spirit about him where he kind of realized where and what mindfulness was about. And I did not at first understood what mindfulness was. I did not, because everything was just so...
Okay.
You were still going through the learning process. I mean, you're trying to gather as much information, but you haven't truly applied it as yet. And yeah. So
okay.
In that phase, this was like a 3-month phase. You're trying to cram everything in and try to actually do everything. It's just not going to work. It takes time to actually space
out. Not going to work, right? Yes.
No, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. But the message I got from it was mindfulness is sitting at the seat of consciousness. It's not being overreactive. You're actually observing. Mm-hmm. And basically by doing that,
okay,
you're telling yourself not to hold on to anything, emotions, grudges, it's no attachment at all. It's just sitting there and let it go. But in the world that we live in, we practice the opposite. We hold on to everything.
We hold on to everything, don't we? This is true. This is very true.
And so that was one of the hardest norm to actually just creating a new norm as to not holding. That was hard because, I mean, it's like they tell you to be like water, just flow.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you do that?
How do you do it? Yes, it's not easy. It's not easy.
It's absolutely not. Yes. And then I got into meditation, and okay, that's where the whole transformation truly started happening. And the whole meditation. Then I got into yoga. And then I started digging deeper. And then I changed my diet. I became a vegetarian. And that whole thing just flips your whole mindset.
Yes.
It's like you get a better understanding of what the balance of life is.
And all of this happened as a result of going through a crisis. Your breakthrough happened as a result of going through a crisis of sorts, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And so it's very interesting because that tends to, that it, a lot of people, they say, well, I want to change something, or I think this person should change something. And we don't realize that change a lot of times is the result of a crisis situation. Okay. And the other thing that I heard you say, and I want to highlight this for the listener, is that you went to counseling. So here you are, you're a man, you went to counseling, but wait, did somebody twist your arm and make you go to counseling?
Yeah, I twisted my own arm.
You twisted because, your own arm.
Look, at the end of the day, we all can give ourselves excuses. Why not?
Yes.
But in the same sense, why we can't give ourselves the same excuse as to why should we actually find the excuse to fix ourselves?
Yes, yes,
because
absolutely.
Out of this crisis, what I got from it was you have to uproot yourself from the environment in which you were planted. You have to. Mm-hmm. And that's part of finding yourself, and that's part of finding a purpose.
Yes. Absolutely. I agree. And I think that there are a lot of men who are struggling with acknowledging or admitting that maybe they need to uproot themselves from.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's mind blowing.
Absolutely.
It's like we live in a world where we are taught to be overreactive.
Yes.
We have so many triggers that we don't realize that we have triggers, but that's the norm.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
The new norm is you sit at the seat of consciousness and you observe what's happening around you. Like you literally, like it's like, Charles, it is so mind blowing. Just sit there and observe someone and watch them have a whole meltdown. Like it's, and just watch it. And you're just like, wow, I used to be like that.
Wow.
But The full effect of where my therapy really took effect was the whole thing where I say you have to uproot yourself from your environment.
Yes.
So you step out of that norm and you step into something different. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when you go back around family, because that's your environment, that's where the seed was actually grown.
Yeah.
And you start pay more attention, you realize a lot of those mannerisms that you used to have, where they come from.
Right. That's right. Came from their family of origin and everything, right?
Or, And so it's like it's so mind blowing once you start realizing that and you start paying more attention. It's like, okay, well, that's where I got that bad habit from. Mm-hmm. And it's not just family, it's friends also.
Yeah, this is true.
And he's like, okay, so that's why I used to do that. But at the same time, you have to hold yourself accountable.
Right. Right. In order you can't just blame your family and friends.
No,
gotcha.
Because the paradox of choice is you make a choice even when you don't make a choice.
Yeah, I get that one. Yeah, you make a choice even when you don't make a choice, right?
So it's like having control of what you do sometimes is best, but not all the time, but practicing self-love every single day, practicing self-kindness every single day, mm-hmm. practicing just being grateful changes your whole mindset. You can have a whole conversation of what self-love is. Yes. That's a whole topic by itself.
Wow.
But just being grateful for every single thing that happens to you in life, that right there is it's mind-blowing. I cannot begin to even say how much it changes you. Because your mindset actually is what make or break you.
That's right. That's right. It all starts and ends with the mind, right?
Oh, my Absolutely. God, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that for a lot of men, of course, we have the issues of negative self-love. Okay, where we don't practice that kindness to ourselves, but there's so much. And you said a mouthful. You really, really did. And I hope that everybody's listening to this. Those breakthroughs are unbelievable. And the crazy part about breakthroughs, though, guys, is and I have to say this is sometimes when we experience a breakthrough, it doesn't necessarily make everybody happy. It's your breakthrough, okay? And I know that even for me, sometimes I'll observe something or witness something, experience something, and then I feel really, really bad about being completely receptive to what it is that I'm being sent, because I'm worried about how the people around me may view me or what they may say or how it impacts someone. But the truth of it is, sometimes the people are around you are the reason why you had that crisis. And so, you know, the breakthrough is just, it's a byproduct of all of these things that have been developing. And that's something that we really need to consider. Chad, I have a question for you because I'm very, very curious about this one. And then I'll tell you why afterward. But with mindfulness and going to therapy, you're reading Eckhart Tolle and everything. Do you do some journaling? Did you start journaling at any point?
You know what? That's probably the only thing I did not do. And in itself, I kind of wish I did, because right now that material right there would have given me a better idea of where I was, where I am right.
Okay.
But I go back and I look at the books that I've read,
mm-hmm.
and the audibles that I've actually listened to, and that's what I use to actually, you know, gauge or measure where I was to where I am right now.
Gotcha.
Because going back and listening to those books again, the understanding is different.
I see. It's a different level. It's a heightened level now.
Yeah. Yes. So because the message is not applicable, listening again,
yes,
it's different. But what people have to understand is you have to give yourself time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It doesn't happen overnight. Right?
No, you don't. Because think about it. However how long it took you to find yourself, okay? A lot of people don't find themselves until they're 40, 45, 50.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
About it. That's 50 years of finding yourself.
Right.
It's not going to take 2 weeks to actually uproot yourself from that environment.
That's right.
Because, I mean, there's so many things that's intertwined into what you became over those years.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to take a lot of self-love, a lot of kindness, to actually uproot yourself from that. And Charles, I'm going to tell you this, okay? Removing myself from that environment mentally, it I went through a weird phase.
Okay.
Because I've never been there before.
Yeah, right. It's totally new.
It's like, and it's not like I had a mentor who is actually guiding me through all of this. It's self-taught. So you, and I'm still going through it as far as speaking to other people who you know, on the same journey, but probably took a different path and may have actually, you know, found more information than I did. I'm just speaking to them as to where they are, you know, trying to actually get as much out of them. But you go through a weird phase.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you realize how less reactive you become.
Yes.
And so you start listening to how people speak to you.
Mm.
And then it's like I had a situation at work where I asked a gentleman a specific question. The question was about a topic. It's one item.
Mm-hmm.
But his response was something else, totally different.
Yes.
In that moment, I'm aware that he's only responded to me from what his perception of.
Right.
Of me, and not the question that I actually asked him. But that's what mindfulness does to you.
Yes.
Living in that moment at that time, you're so aware. It's something that's actually scary, because even if a pin drop, nobody else can hear it. You can actually hear it.
Mm, wow. That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
It's just that aware.
Because you're observant of everything.
Yes. Wow.
One of the books that I read along the journey was The Four Agreements.
Okay. I've heard of that.
The Four Agreements is deeply rooted in mindfulness.
Okay. Got you.
It speaks to not assuming. And it's like, in my opinion, I feel like mindfulness is kind of where religion was based off, where it started from.
Okay.
Because it's mindfulness is more so about spirituality than it is, you know, a part of doctrine or whatever. But we're not going to get into that.
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying, in terms of once you actually get into it, you start realizing people like, what's a famous author's name? Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's his preaching right there.
Yeah, I understand that. Yep, and he's been around for a long time, and I think that people are aware of all the good work that he has done. So, man, that's some you know what you're explaining. What you're explaining, I think a lot of guys are having some of those experiences. They may not know that they're having those experiences. And one of the things that I was taught, Chad, was that right around 40 years old or a little bit beyond that, you know, you start to experience life differently. And my father used to say, spiritually, you start to experience some things differently. You start to view the world differently. You start to view yourself differently. And I think that it's even more pronounced when we have some crisis management going on, when we have some things going on in life that require us to change. This is kind of like one of the things that happens along the road. So it's very interesting that you mentioned to us here. So the next question that I have for you regarding your experience with therapy, you said you twisted your own arm. And I think that that's really, really huge, because when I speak to a lot of men, are adverse to counseling. They don't want to go. Either as a spouse that wants to go and they don't want to go, or they feel like somebody's going to manipulate them and all of these kinds of things. But you were able to say, hey, you know what? I need some help with this. So my question to you is this. Did you have to like overcome any negative self-talk about going to therapy? Were you nervous or Did you have some concerns that maybe, no, this isn't going to help me with anything? I mean, what was that like for you?
You know, before I went to therapy, I started doing, you know, a little bit more research. So actualized that org was, you know, the original YouTube videos that got me started in it. So I was actually listening.
Okay.
And one of the things that, I think his name is Ryan. One of the things that he mentioned was, you will know when you're at the edge of your comfort zone. Because fear kicks in.
Yes.
And the negative self-talk takes over.
Yes.
But I guess the correct term for that is limited self-belief or something like that. So that's the correct term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, I experienced that. And gotcha. When I was so aware of what, because he said it, it made me more aware.
I see.
So trying to create a new norm or trying to find my why or trying to find out why I was that way, that was the curiosity that led me to, you know what, maybe there's something in my childhood that actually caused me to react, to be overreactive. And so that right there was what really spawned, you know what, I've never actually sat on this brown couch before. Let me go ahead and see what this whole stereotype is like. But in our society, there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of negative self-talk, and perception is somewhat believed to be reality.
Yes.
But that's just the world that we live in right now. And the few people who decided that they don't want to conform to what perception is, they're the ones who actually somehow are being looked at as being crazy.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I've kind of adopted a teacher. He's now deceased, but his spirit lives on, right? A lot of people know I speak about Wayne Dyer a lot. And one of the things that Wayne Dyer experienced when he was in his mid-30s, he was a professor in New York. And he decided, you know, just to uproot himself. He was teaching and things, but he had a different way of communicating with people, and he was experiencing life differently. And everybody thought he was crazy. And years later, you look up, he's published all around the world in 20 or more languages, and he's traveled all around the world to speak, and has done numerous shows. He was on PBS and just so many different places. And what is he talking about? He's talking about actualized living. He's talking about living a life of inspiration. He's talking about getting grounded. Yep. He's talking about mindfulness.
Yep.
And these concepts were very, very strange to a lot of people. In fact, they still are, because a lot of people they've grown accustomed to their normal, right? And so they think that their normal is the only normal, not maybe paying attention to the fact that, wow, man, what I've been doing for a long period of time, no, it's not working. I need to do something different. And so it's amazing that you too, I hear you saying the same thing. And I think that it's very, very important for you to, you know, for people to hear you say that. So go ahead. I'm listening.
One of the things that it made me more aware of is I have four kids. I have four kids. And it made me more aware of how I speak to them, because how I speak to them become their inner voice.
That's right.
And so I my approach to raising my kids are where I'm at in life right now. So the more I grow, is the more I'm actually able to enhance their mindset, their growth, and to put them on a different path. But another thing is, in our community, in our society, we don't practice enough love. And self-love is one of the best form of gift, one of the best gifts you can ever give yourself. And a part of self-love is owning up to your own S-I-H, S-H-I-T, owning up. That's self-love too.
Yes,
sir. Hold that absolutely. Part right there, and believe me, that will actually change your life faster than anything else.
Wow, listen to that, guys. You know, it's funny. He considers, you know, he says that, you know, accountability, right? Responsibility is part of self-love. I think there is a lot to be said for certain religious ideologies that speak about confession or speaking openly about mistakes and things like this. And I personally believe, and I've tried both ways. I've tried to hide things that I've done. And I've tried to speak openly about those things that I've done and take responsibility. And for me, the second one works. The second one works a lot better than the first. And I feel better about myself, even though it may have been something that I did that was negative. It was wrong. It was a mistake. The ability to speak about it, okay, the ability to talk about it with people changes how I feel about myself. And then a lot of times it changes making that mistake. It keeps me from making that same mistake over again. Okay. It doesn't mean that I stop, you know, making mistakes altogether, but it really, really does something to your spirit. Okay. So Chad, go ahead. We're running out of time, but go ahead.
I'm going to leave y'all with this. Okay.
Yes.
If the same thing keeps happening to your life, that means you have not learned that lesson as yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you need to go back. Yes, absolutely. And that's the same thing that Wayne Dyer says. You know, you will repeat that mistake until the lesson is learned.
100%. Okay. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Yeah. And we think, you know, a lot of times we think that this applies only to children, but the reality is it applies to life, to everyone, right?
100%.
Right. And there's no doubt about that. So, hey, look, Chad, it's been great having you on. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day. I hope that the listeners were able to benefit from some of the nuggets that you presented. I am so thankful to have you present. And I'm also very happy that you have experienced this in your own life, as it's something that I've gone through. I continue to go through it. Each level you're heightened and, you know, new things are revealed. And it's just really awesome to be in company with people who are doing that. So, guys, I hope that you have enjoyed the conversation with Chad today. If you enjoyed the conversation and would like to hear more of these types of conversations, you can go onto patreon.com and lend your support to the Barbershop Group. You can find us on patreon.com at patreon.com/thebarbershopgroup and make your contribution today. We have a lot of interesting things that we talk about, and you know, it's just an awesome time to speak about a different way to live life as men. And that's the reason why we created the Barbershop Group. Chad, again, thank you for coming on today. It was great to speak with you. And guys, we hope that you all will enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we will talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.